is the Hot Zone. Engaging with the news in a whole new way, international war correspondent Chuck Holton brings insight into areas of crisis and lets you help those affected.
Hi, I'm Chuck Holton, and I'm in Raqqa, Syria today. And today is the 9th of November, 2021. 1 year ago today, the 44-day war in Armenia ended on a sour note for Armenia. Armenia lost a lot of its ancestral grounds in Artsakh, some very ancient monasteries that they may never get to visit again. And so I was there covering the war. I know what a bitter taste that was in the mouths of the Armenians 1 year ago today. But I'm here to show you some hope, and that is that here in Raqqa, Syria, we are just about to dedicate this Armenian church that was rebuilt from the ruins of a similar church that had been destroyed by ISIS back in 2014 when they took over this city and made it their capital. And until they were driven out in 2016, the ruins of this Armenian church were all that remained here. But through donations from the Free Burma Rangers and other organizations that they raised money from in the United States, they were able to give the money to rebuild this church. And today, November 9th, we're getting ready to dedicate it. And so Armenia may have lost some very beloved ground in Artsakh, but it's got some back here in Syria.
I'm Aram Hanna, a spokesman of the Syrian Democratic Forces and a member in the headquarters of the MFS, Military Syria Council. Most of the Armenians in Syria came up from the Seyfo massacre in 1915. They became, from that date, because of the Turkish massacre, they killed more than 1.5 million Armenian Syriac Assyrian people. So that's why our grandfathers came up from Turkey to Syria. But that doesn't mean that there wasn't any Armenians or Syriacs in Syria too. It was one country. It was no borders at that time. So our grandfathers ran away from the Turkish massacres at that time. Then they started to build a good life here, especially the Armenians. They worked a lot, they educated, especially in Aleppo, in cities like Qamishlo, Aleppo. They were like the best industry men, let's say. They are the best in fixing cars. They are the best in metal things. They are the greatest in all the region. People from Damascus came to fix their car in Aleppo or in Qamishlo with Armenian people. We have a lot of Armenian doctors, Armenian engineers, Armenian people who they built this country side by side with the Syriacs, Kurdish, Arabs, with all of Syrian people, let's say. We suffered a lot during the war in Syria after 2011. Because of our Christian community was under threat, always and always. So that's why we were forced to create a small militia, Christian militia, to protect our community, houses, and people. Because of before ISIS, there was kidnappers. They kidnapped a lot of Christian people to take money, to let them go out of the country, and they succeeded in somehow. Because of a lot of our people left their houses, they left their city, and they are living now as refugees in Europe, Canada, America, around the whole world. This is what makes us really sad, because it doesn't mean for us to liberate any city if the people is not there. We are looking forward to liberate people, not liberate buildings or anything else. The most important thing for us is to have our people back. Because of our cities are safe, such like Raqqa, which we are in now. Today we rebuilt it by the support of the FBR, or I don't know who is sponsored the rebuilding the church, but it's a great job. Today we rebuilt this church. I was the first one praying in this church back in 2017. I raised a wood cross It was made by hand. It was here in the church, and I was lighting a candle, praying for my friends, our martyrs. Suddenly, a boom comes out, and we lost four fighters, four Christian fighters, Noor, Christian, Ali, and I forget Christian, Noor, Ali, and George. We lost them here in the building next to the church. I was supposed to be with them, but because of I was praying here and I was rising the cross, it didn't happen to me. I'm so proud that today I'm seeing that the church is new, and it's again it started to be a really church. I remembered a lot our fighters, our friends that I lost in 2017, and I was crying too much yesterday, if you noticed. Thanks God, let's see. Thanks God that we saw this happening again. Today, I was crying, but it wasn't sad. It was happiness. Because of that, yesterday, I know like their souls was worthable. Their souls was enough to rebuild this church. This is a miracle for us. Yesterday, we met an Armenian civilian man.
Yesterday,
we met a civilian Armenian man. He's from Raqqa. We have 12 Christian people in the city. We hope that we will see them today. It's a miracle for us to collect each other again, to be together again. It's insane. It's
so. Can you say that in Armenian?
Mink, hi, read in the Nikibes. Yani pamushad minze mezi. Not now. He has more actions. Մենք հայրոյն ընտանիքի պես առաջին անգամն է իդ հոս ռակաբ դկանք ու իրարու հետ բդլանք ու բդ ասե գեղեցի մեջ բդլանք ու բդլանք իրարու հետ պամը շատ մեզի պամը շատ դժվար էր մեզի ասանք դեսնանք գեղեցի յանի երկրորդ անգամ պատրաստ է լավ է գրնանք հոստեղ յանի շատ բաներ ունենք քիչենք, բայց 10 հատ ենք, 15 հատ ենք, բայց մենք շատ ենք, يعني Հիսուսի մեջ շատ ենք, մեր քրիստիանը մի մօրնանք ու բամը շատ մեզ մեզի.
And was that about the same as what you said in English, more or less?
It was like I said like we are a few in Raqqa, but it's something a miracle for us to see us together again. We are 12 people, yes, but we are too much. We are power, we are strength, we have each other, and we will start again.
How many Christians were there in Raqqa before Daesh?
A lot. Armenians, Catholic Armenians, we had between 14 or 40 or 50 families, but now we are 12 with no families, and all of them are men. Old men, because of the teenagers, has to go to another cities to study, to have a good life, because Raqqa, you know what happened in Raqqa.
So, and where did all of those Christians go?
The different places, Europe, Canada, America, Australia. We have Syrian, Christian Syrians in around the world.
So most of them escaped, is what I'm saying.
It doesn't, for us, we don't see that they escaped, because they were trying to find a life to live. Imagine if you have to live under control of ISIS. What you will do? You will escape? It's not escaping. It's they're trying to save your life. Yani the word of escape, it means like they are cowards. We believe that they are not cowards. And they believe they fight, but they have families, they have kids, they have life to live. Yani maybe they didn't so like they have to fight, because ISIS done yani the worst thing on the ground here in Raqqa, especially they killed people, they cut heads, they cut hands, and it's something not familiar to us. We as a Christian community, we didn't believe that we will carry weapons, especially in the Middle East. No one thought like we will be soldiers, we will be fighters. For me personally, I was studying English literature at university in Deir Zor. I didn't thought for one day that I will be a soldier in SDF or in MFS, or I will be a commander or leading people to fight. It's something that we didn't believe in, but you saw what happened. We were forced to carry that weapons, and we, now we are so proud of that.
So explain the, for people who don't understand what it is, explain the MFS.
MFS is small Christian militias. We created the forces in 2013. We started to protect our neighborhoods, our houses from thieves, from different threatened things. Then we were sharing, we were defending the cities side by side with the YPG and YPJ. Then we created SDF forces, and we launched our operations against ISIS. Today, MFS is in thousands, let's say, between 2,000, 3,000 fighter among north and eastern Syria. We have bases in Qamishli, Raqqa, Derik, Hasaki, Al-Khabur Valley, in all the places side by side with the SDF. We share commandership with them. We have people in the headquarters of the forces. And we reached our voice to the international coalition, to the Russians, to the international community, to a lot of charities, and we have a lot of power as a Christians. Today we have our relationships with different people that they support us, such like FBR, such like a lot of other others that they support us, not with money. The support that we are looking for is not money, is not materials, is not weapons, is not political things. The support like we are asking for is to being for us. Today is something big for us, that there is a couple of people coming from the rest of the world, and they are looking to go to the fronts to help wounded fighters, to help wounded civilians. This is something we didn't saw since during the fight with the Turkish army and the Maskars, let's say. Imagine if we have Syrian people running away from that fight, and we have Christian people from the whole world coming to be on that front. This is something that special, keeps us feel like we are motivated, we are strong, we are supported. Yesterday you saw what happened, was an accident around our place here. All of the team goes. They don't know what happened, where are they going, what they will do. They just want to help. This is the spirit that we lost in the fight with the in Sarikani, in Afrin, or let's say with the occupied army in the northern areas. So for us is something affecting us in positive ways. It's different. Today, imagine if we go to the fronts to pray, just to pray.
Yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the end of the war in the Nagorno-Karabakh,
yes,
in which Armenia lost almost 5,000 of its men. And today is a new day for the Armenian people here in Raqqa. How does that make you feel, to see the cross of Christ?
The Armenian people, they suffered a lot during the history. They always fall and stand again, fall and stand again. It's not impossible for the Armenians to liberate Nagorno-Karabakh again, to have Armenia again. We are so strong. Let the enemies read our history. Let them read what we have done. Let them read what our fathers done as Armenians. My mother is Armenian. I'm so proud to speak in Armenian language and in Armenian, as an Armenian fighter. It's something that keeps me proud. All of the world look for us as resistance, as people that they resist all of that suffering things, and they become a country now.
The Hot Zone is produced by Amy Holton and Live Fire Media.
Copyright 2021.